Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
True or false, the Obama stimulus worked.
Without the help the Recovery Act has provided to struggling states, it's estimated that state deficits would be nearly twice as large as they are now, resulting in tens of thousands of additional layoffs. Layoffs that would affect police officers, teachers, and firefighters.
There's no doubt that our nation faces many challenges, but the plain truth is that President Obama's economic decisions have not produced jobs, have not produced prosperity, and simply have not worked.
Well, it's the policy that inspired the first Obama backlash and the first stirrings of the Tea Party movement. Most economists say it's been good for 3 million jobs, but it's been unpopular in the polls. We just heard President Obama there from July of 2009 and Republican Congressman Eric Cantor responding in both parties' weekly media addresses of that week. So we continue our election series, 30 issues in 30 days, with a big issue 7, true or false. The Obama stimulus worked. With us are Stephen Moore, senior economic writer and a member of the editorial board at The Wall Street Journal, and Dan Gross, columnist and economic editor of Yahoo Finance. Dan and Steve, welcome back to WNYC. Hello.
Hi, Brian. Good to be here.
And Dan, let's first recap what the stimulus bill actually is. We hear the top line of $800 billion, and maybe people still first think of construction jobs and the stimulus. But the clip we just played from July of last year had the president emphasizing the effect on state deficits and the thousands of additional jobs saved, police officers, teachers, and firefighters, he cited. Here's another aspect from that same speech of an important part of the Recovery Act.
In a little over 100 days, this Recovery Act has worked as intended. It's already extended unemployment insurance and health insurance to those who have lost their jobs in this recession. It's delivered $43 billion in tax relief to American working families and businesses.
So there he's mentioning tax relief, he's mentioning health insurance, unemployment insurance. So, Dan, it was tax cuts, it was spending to rescue state and local governments, it was unemployment and health insurance stopgaps, and increased food stamp benefits. Anything to add to the big picture of what the stimulus is before we debate whether it worked?
Well, sure. There's chunks of it that are still yet to roll out, and that includes these longer-term investments in infrastructure, things like loan guarantees for, giant wind farms, solar farms, those sorts of things, which have catalyzed some investment, money to digitize health records, money for the smart grid. That's all still to come. I'm on the board of trustees of my local library in Connecticut, and they've just received some stimulus funds for improving IT stuff, but won't be arriving, I think, for another year or two. So there's still a fair amount of it that is yet to come, and those are more to do with kind of longer-term investments rather than transfers to states or tax cuts.
And, Steve, some people also include the homebuyers tax credit in this and the Cash for Clunkers program for cars. Any other way to characterize the stimulus bill before we debate its quality?
When you mentioned the Cash for Clunkers and the bailout of the auto companies, and then there were two major mortgage modification programs.
Well, the actual car bailout was TARP, right?
Yeah, but my point is that if you count all these things together, including things like we did an extension on unemployment insurance last month. We did another $30 billion for states and cities. So that inflated the cost of the program to close to about $1 trillion if you include all these programs that were much like the stimulus in terms of spending money to try to get jobs back.
And you're going to argue that the stimulus has not worked and maybe had a negative impact. But I cited the USA Today headline recently that said, economists agree, USA Today's words, stimulus created nearly 3 million jobs. Do you agree at least on that as a true fact? Steve?
Are you asking me?
Yes.
Oh, Well, no. I mean, I think it's there is no debate that there were no jobs created. That this was a massive waste of money. And hopefully, if anything good comes out of what we've done in the last year, it's that we never do this again. That we've finally learned the lesson that government spending doesn't create jobs. We lost 4 million jobs since the stimulus started, and the unemployment rate has gone up by 2 percentage points, much higher than anyone expected the unemployment rate would go up if we hadn't done anything.
Dan, you want to come back on that?
I think that's a little insane, as a lot of the stuff that we see on the Wall Street Journal editorial page has been for since this started. If you go to look at the Council of Economic Advisers, Christina Romer's report, they do these quarterly reports where they run the data through their models. Their conclusion is that GDP in the second quarter of 2010 was between 2.7 and 3.2% higher than it would have been absent the stimulus, that employment would have been 2.5 to 3.6 million less than it would have been absent the stimulus. Now, that's a counterfactual, but a lot of what is done in economic analysis by professional PhD economic analysts is counterfactuals. What would happen if you did X? What would not have happened if you remove Y? Now, unemployment is higher than they predicted it was, because in the fourth quarter of 2008, first quarter of 2009, when we lost a few million jobs, the economy was shrinking at a 6.4% annual rate. When you look at the Wall Street Journal forecasters at the time, the professional economic forecasters they surveyed, they thought it was only shrinking at a 2% rate. So what happened was late 08, early 09, the magnitude and velocity of the downturn was such that it really overwhelmed any measures that were taken, including by the previous administration, and you had people, Paul Krugman among them, arguing from the beginning that the stimulus at $787 billion over 3 years was too small for the for the crisis at hand, and that's one of the reasons things aren't better now.
What about, before we talk about the deficits that were created and what might come next, Stephen Moore, what about some of the aspects that we heard the president laud in those clips? For example, when he said that it's been estimated that state deficits would be twice as large as they are now. Of course, this is a year ago, but still, resulting in tens of thousands of additional layoffs that would affect police officers, teachers, and firefighters. We're seeing some of that come up now in New York and New Jersey and Connecticut and other states as stimulus money runs out. But for the moment, at least, saving police officers' jobs, teachers' jobs, firefighters, were these not public goods born of the stimulus bill?
Well, look, first of all, this idea that somehow these computer models say things would have been worse, I mean, these were the same computer models that said it was going to work in the first place. So all Dan's saying is that they used the models that said that the stimulus plan was going to work, and then, instead of, looking at the real world and what happened, they said, gee, it should have worked. I mean, our blackboard and computer models say it should have worked. So, I mean, the bottom line is we didn't create any jobs. We lost 4 million jobs, and that makes Dan's argument really pretty unpersuasive. But, look, the only way we're going to bail out states and cities, and the example of this, we should have learned this for the last 40 years, what bails out states and cities is getting the economy moving again. We got to get Americans back to work. Once Americans are working, they start paying taxes again. And when we've had strong growth like we had in the 80s and 90s, states and cities were awash in revenue. So I guess the point I'm making, Brian, is the only way we're going to have states and cities not having to deal with these brutal cuts that they made last year, they're going to have to make this year, is to get the economy moving, and we're not doing that because everything we've done in Washington has been a failure.
Dan, I heard you busting to get in there.
This meme that everything Washington done has been a failure, that the Obama presidency is, destroying the economy. And again, the perfect encapsulation of this Michael Boskin, Bush advisor, Wall Street Journal op-ed page, March 6, 2009, with the Dow at 6,600. The headline was, "Obama's radicalism is killing the Dow." The Dow is up 60% since then. The credit markets have had an enormous recovery. The TARP, which people refer to as a $700 billion project or expense, the net cost of that is now likely to be $60 billion and probably declining. Many of these programs, which were designed to to stop collapse. And again, we have to go back to what was happening in this country in 2008, the first quarter of 2009. It was complete collapse of the financial system, of the private employment market, of the economy as a whole. We have not seen two quarters like that since the late, 1920s. So all these programs were designed, A, to stop a collapse, and B, to create the conditions where growth could happen again. By that measure, I think they were successful. The economy began to expand in June 2009. Jobs started to be created again for the first time in 2 years in November 2009. When you look at data like the tax collection of state and local governments, they have increased now for the first time in a few years. When you look at it at the federal level, for the first time in a few years, more tax collections at the same tax rates than we've had in the last 2 years. Things are clearly moving in the right direction at the macro level, and I think it's clear to most observers when you look at the data, when you look at the net costs of these programs, and especially when you compare them to the apocalyptic things that were said by their opponents who knew they were failures before they were put into place. I think all things considered, it hasn't been that bad.
We do want to open this to our listeners. Listeners, true or false, the Obama stimulus worked? Or how true, how false, since, of course, these things are not black and white. Did the Obama stimulus work? Give us your opinion. If you think you are working today because of the stimulus bill, give us your experience. 212-433-WNYC. Or if you think you're not working today because of the Obama stimulus, give us a call. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Or join the conversation on our politics website. It's a free country.org. It's a free country.org. 212-433-9692 on the phones with Stephen Moore from The Wall Street Journal editorial page and Dan Gross from Yahoo Finance. And let's take a phone call right now. Susan in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. I wanted to ask Stephen Moore in particular about this since I know he's also a frequent guest on CNBC. And sometime over the summer, another guest was on who said very matter-of-factly, when the jobs come back, they won't be coming back to this country. And no one raised an eyebrow about it. None of the panelists asked any questions or asked to get any deeper about it. And it just feels like this is part of the neoliberal plan to just make Uber arbitrage the rule of the day. And I'd like him to comment on that, because it just feels like there is no plan on the Republican side to bring back jobs either. It's just about giving tax breaks to the supposedly small businesses that are the Koch brothers, as we're now learning.
The serial LLCs
that are huge businesses but call themselves small businesses.
Susan, thank you. Stephen Moore?
Well, I agree with Susan that, the big worry right now is when the jobs come back, they won't be in the United States, and I agree with that. We haven't done anything to really increase. One of the objections that I have to even if Dan were right that the stimulus worked, and I think the evidence is pretty clear it hasn't, but even if that were true, we haven't done anything. It's a temporary effect of the stimulus. You spend the money, and then once it's gone, the jobs are gone. What have we done to increase our long-term economic growth prospects? And the answer to that is nothing. In fact, even the studies that Dan mentions about, the fact that the stimulus would create jobs, what all those studies say, the Congressional Budget Office says that the long-term effect of all this spending and borrowing is negative for the economy. That is, the long-term effect makes our economy weaker in the long term, not stronger. And that's the real tragedy.
And what about the deficit, Stan? Another $1 trillion practically in burden on our children.
That's part of what happens when revenues collapse. I mean, the economy shrunk about 3% in 08, 09. Federal revenues fell 16%. We have a tax collection system that is highly tethered to the markets, how corporations are doing, capital gains, and how high-income earners are doing. And when that went into reverse, the revenue numbers collapsed. And so obviously spending went up. That's what's supposed to happen in a recession when a lot of people need food stamps and unemployment benefits. But there are two sides of it. One is that the money that the government has collected has really gone down. Now, in fiscal 2010, which closes tomorrow, The books will probably show that revenues rose 2% from fiscal 2009 and that spending went down 3-5%. So, you know, the growth is the miracle deficit cure. When the economy is expanding and people have jobs, you get more payroll taxes, you get more corporate taxes, you get individual taxes, capital gains, all that good stuff that Steve likes to talk about. I think we'd be in agreement there. But I think these deficits we're seeing, as much as they are a function of spending ramping up, they are also a function of the fact that revenues collapse in a way we haven't seen, you know, certainly in my lifetime.
Dan on Coney Island, you're on WNYC. Hello, Dan.
Yeah, hi. The problem with the stimulus was that instead of providing tax and other incentives to the private sector to create new long-term jobs, it provided short-term money to the public sector to possibly preserve public jobs. As Rahm Emanuel said, never let a crisis go to waste. The government did what would help the Democratic constituency rather than what would help the long-term economy.
David, thank you. Dan, what about that? That if, you know, the president came in talking about infrastructure, and there was a time that people who were paying attention thought that the stimulus bill was also going to be kind of a nation-building bill and a huge green infrastructure project across the country. And then it turned into unemployment benefits and food stamp increases and payouts to state government to help the firefighters and the teachers and police officers' jobs be maintained. And so the caller sees that as to Democratic constituencies. But was there a change there from trying to goose the private sector to trying to save public sector jobs?
No. There were tax breaks for companies that hire. I just hired on with Yahoo a couple weeks ago, and I saw some of the paperwork. You could fill out a form because companies are entitled to a tax credit if they hire someone who has been unemployed for some period of time. One-third of the stimulus is tax breaks, tax cuts. And when you hear people say the whole thing was a waste, does that mean they want those tax cuts and tax credits back? So these components of it, there was the tax credits, there was transfers to states, which can be done, you know, very quickly. You push a button and you send $10 billion to California. But the public investments, the infrastructure, these sorts of things, by their nature, and because they have been sort of hypersensitive about fraud issues and making sure things, they have taken these very slowly. I'm on the receiving end of press releases in my inbox from, you know, the GEs and Siemens of the world and many of the startups that are, you know, building hydroelectric and solar farms, et cetera, that are getting loan guarantees from the U.S. government. That is part of the stimulus package. And those things, you know, we're already a year and a half after it passed. That pipeline is sort of barely, you know, getting going because that takes a while and it has to be matched by private capital. This notion that it was one or the other, I think from the beginning it was those three components.
Let me drill down on this a little bit more, Stephen Moore, because one of the issues here is whether government spending to create jobs crowds out or replaces private spending to create jobs. I'm sure that would be one of your arguments. How would that work? Because the other side says it's supposed to have a multiplier effect. The more jobs that exist, the more demand for goods and services, the more private sector jobs are created.
Well, Brian, I'm glad you asked that question. And by the way, let me just say I agree entirely with the last caller. I didn't plant him, but he reflected my view exactly, that everything we've done has been to essentially, you know, benefit Democrat constituencies like the unions.
Steve, I don't know how you keep on saying that because there were tax. How do you say tax credit for an employer who hires somebody is a payoff to a Democratic constituent?
I'm talking about all of the spending. Let me give you the spending fight. We kept saying, look, if you're going to spend infrastructure money, at least do it so that you can create twice as many infrastructure jobs if you don't have these union wage requirements so that they have to hire union workers on these jobs, and the Democrats would have nothing of it because they wanted the money to go to the unions. And there's just no question about the state. Let's look at the $50 billion we just gave to the teachers. About $100 million
dollars of that is going to go to teacher union dues so they can use the money to beat Republicans in the election. So, yeah, I think there was a real impact on the unions, and I think that Democrat constituents got a lot of money. But on your point, Brian, the important point is, you know, you asked me about this issue of the crowding out, and I can answer that in a real simple way that I think every American can understand if they're not in Washington. As Milton Friedman taught us, there's no such thing as a free lunch. And what that means very simply is there's no tooth fairy out there. If the government spends a dollar, Brian, the dollar has to come from a private sector person. It comes out of our pocket. So the net, there is no multiplier effect because the government is a dollar richer, but the private sector is a dollar poorer.
But wait, why? If I create a job as a teacher, let's say, and that job wouldn't have existed otherwise,
right,
that teacher gets off work at the end of the day and goes shopping and maybe goes to a restaurant, maybe buys a car that they wouldn't buy otherwise. So why is that not a multiplier effect?
Because it's a great example, Brian. What you can see is the government gave this person, you know, $10,000 so they have a job. What you don't see is that now I don't have $10,000. So the net effect of this transaction is zero because, you create a job with the $10,000, but you took the $10,000 out of the pockets of people, so now they don't have it. Now, you could say, well, they borrowed the money, but somebody has to buy the bond. So there is no free lunch here. The money has to come from somewhere before that person can get a government salary.
Dan, you disagree with that, I presume.
Well, what a supply sider tells you there's no free lunch, I guess we've reached a new higher level of being. Look, the crowding out thesis... people have said it from the beginning, you know, if we have these big deficits, we are going to ignite inflation and have really high interest rates. Well, inflation is non-existent, and we are crowding out capital to such a degree that the government is now paying a whopping 2.5% to borrow for 10 years and pretty much close to zero to borrow for 3 to 6 months. And so you can look at it a different way if the government is making investments. The government has, the American taxpayers have the ability to borrow money for a year at 1% and buy stuff with it or invest in things that can yield a greater return. And putting people to work that gives them confidence, preserving jobs, but more effectively, infrastructure. When you build a bridge, when you build a canal, when you build a railroad, when you built the Hoover Dam in the 30s, when you look at all the infrastructure was done, when you build an airport, that tends to pay dividends for years and decades to come in ways that people can't imagine. And the U.S. now has the ability to get that money on incredibly cheap terms.
Yeah, but Dan, it also means that you're going to have less factories built. That's the point. You can build more wind farms, which I think is a total waste of money, but that means you're going to have less factories built because the money has to come from somewhere. That's the whole point. It has to come out of the hands of the private consumers and private businesses.
Yes, but how do you – the question is, do you get more economic growth by having crappy roads or by having good roads? Would New York be a more prosperous place if we didn't have LaGuardia and JFK airports?
Yes, but you can't have roads at all until there are businesses that pay the taxes that create the roads in the first place. I mean, that's the whole point, is why don't we just cut taxes? We can have businesses grow. They'll pay more. They'll pay more taxes, and you'll get an economic recovery. That's you mentioned about the fact the economy would have done worse when Reagan cut taxes in 1981. At this stage of the business cycle, we had 8% economic growth. Why didn't we do that?
Let's add another caller to this mix. Akon and Edison, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hello, sir. I appreciate your show, and thank you for putting this kind of show giving a knowledge to the American people.
Thank you.
My question to this guy is two questions. Is one is this. My friend is working at Anderson Window Company, and before this energy credit of $1,500, that company was almost going to close. And but when since they got a $1,500 home buyer's credit for a energy saving, they are double shift. They are eliminating a people before. Now they put add more 250 more people to get the demand. And other thing is, I like to ask both this gentleman, if this first-time home buyer rebate does not work, how that in the Senate, Congress, Democrat and Republican, how they extend the date because of the heavy demand. And other thing is like that, my friends have no money, and he had a 1994 cars, and he could not afford it. Soon as he got that thing, is a $4,000, he bought the new cars. So if you look at this kind of things, you will see that this kind of benefits are working. And other thing is, if other unemployment did not extend, these people will go very, very bad situation, because I've been on that unemployment line. I know that $500 is a maximum. It's a $2,000 per month. Even I could not afford my rent, and I could not afford my car insurance with that kind of money.
Akon, thank you. I'm going to leave it there. Please call us again. I really appreciate your call. And, oh, my goodness, Stephen Moore, President Obama should find him and take him on tour with him. Here is the private sector, emerging class poster child for the stimulus bill.
Well, I think he made a good case for the stimulus. But look, I mean, let's just take one example, the Cash for Clunkers program, which I think you know, hopefully Dan would even agree that was one of the biggest wastes of money, because all we did with Cash for Clunkers is, you know, we essentially paid people to take good cars off the road. It would be like trying to stimulate the economy by burning down every third house on the street and then rebuilding them. I mean, that's not a way to build a healthy and wealthy economy.
Dan?
There's no question that Cash for Clunkers probably pulled some demand forward, but you know, are we better off as a society having, you know, replacing 300,000 cars that got 10 miles per gallon with 300,000 cars that get 30 miles per gallon? Probably. Does that put more money in the pockets of people? Does it increase the operating income of the people who own those cars? Yes. I think, in fact, that there is, you know, we need to be more aggressive on things like promoting more fuel efficiency, higher gas tax, et cetera, all these things that many other developed economies do and that a lot of, you know, very big companies in these industries are kind of begging for because they think it will help their businesses.
We're just about out of time, but Dan Gross, I realize you're a finance, you're an economics editor for Yahoo Finance, not a political reporter, but if these various emergency measures taken in 2008 and 2009 worked, as you keep saying, to keep us from tanking right into a depression, and I mean the stimulus and the TARP and the Federal Reserve super cheap money policy, why are all these institutions so unpopular with voters going into the midterms?
Well, because they were unpopular to begin with, and because the goal was not to, I mean, people had this expectation that, or, you know, credit, because we saved the banks, credit should be available on the same terms it was in 05, 06, and 07. That was part of the problem. And there's a sense that, okay, we saved the banks, therefore I should be able to get a no-money-down mortgage on this, or people should lend me whatever money I want at whatever terms, because that's how things were in 05, 06, and 07. It's not going back that way. The financial system is changing. It's less leverage. They are making smarter loans because the market's requiring them to, because their investors and boards are requiring them to, because the government is increasing the amount of capital they have to hold. So they were unpopular to begin with. The steps taken to save them were not intended to kind of get things back to the status quo ante, which is what people are judging their current situation by. And then you overlay on top of that the fact unemployment's very high. And when unemployment is very high, everybody's unpopular. Everybody who is part of the establishment, everybody who is an incumbent, and people who are seen controlling the levers of finance will be unpopular so long as this persists.
And Steve Moore, I guess you're going to say, and we just have like 15 seconds, that it's unpopular because they're bad policies.
It's unpopular because it didn't work and Americans out of work. I think the unemployment rate's probably closer to 18% if you count people who can't find full-time jobs. We've had two great economic crises in my lifetime, the one in 78 to 81, and this one, Reagan cut taxes, and we had the biggest economic boom in American history. We ought to do that again.
Stephen Moore from the Wall Street Journal, Dan Gross from Yahoo Finance. We thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
And that is 30 Issues in 30 Days, our election series Issue 7, the Obama stimulus worked, true or false. Now, we invite you to our new politics website. It's freecountry.org in advance of tomorrow's 30-issue segment, where the topic will be about the Tea Party and whether it's been good for America. Take part in our group blog about the Tea Party. Our guest bloggers include Marcos Melitzis from the Daily Kos and Tea Party activist Lenny McAllister. So you can go to the site and add your voice to the mix or just read what our other group bloggers are blogging. And we will talk about it on tomorrow's radio show. But happening right now online, our group blog on the true-false proposition, the Tea Party is good for America. Go to itsafreecountry.org.